The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, welcome everybody. There seems to be a lot of excitement in the room. There also seems to be a lot of spiritual muscle in the room. Men and women of God who are growing in our ability to pray, to intercede. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank especially those of you who we don't know for being here. As well as those of you who we do know. For those of you who I don't know, my name is Marcy, or Bob Puller. Come here. I was thinking of introducing my wife while I'm introducing myself. We're Bob and Marcy Fuller.
To my heart.
And we're glad to be here. The subject that we're addressing over the next three Sunday nights, I believe, is very relevant for today and very important. The subject of prophetic intercession. I believe we are in a season, and I believe many of you are here because there's rumblings going on inside of you. I know that there are some of you in this room who are very experienced in intercession. I know that there may be some of you who aren't all that experienced in intercession, but have a lot of bubbling and rumbling going on inside of you, and you know that God is up to something, and you're just wanting to give voice to it, you're wanting to give tears to it, you're wanting to give laughter to it, you're wanting to know what to do with it. And we don't pretend to have all the answers, but we do know this: we recognize and honor intercessors. And tonight we're going to give definition to what that term intercessor means. But we recognize the need for men and women of God, moved by God, praying God prayers so that on earth as it is in heaven, so that heaven could visit earth. And that's what we're all after. I believe that's part of the rumblings. I believe part of the rumblings is that there's got to be more. Part of the rumblings is that thank God for the church and thank God for what's going on, but Father, there's got to be more. There's rumblings, I believe, that we read this word and we say, this is awesome, God, but we don't see the fullness of what it says in here on earth. And there is a desire for the kingdom of God to come and His will to be done and for the things that are real in heaven to be real on earth. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just come to you tonight with an expectation that you want to teach us a little bit, but beyond that, you want to use us, and you want to do some things tonight in the spirit of just establishing a beachhead, of establishing a force that pulls on heaven for the purposes to be of God to be accomplished on earth. And we just thank you for it, Father. We give ourselves to you, whether we're speaking tonight or listening, whether a little bit later when we go into worship, whether we're singing or we pray or whatever you have us do. Father, we just yield ourselves here tonight as your instruments for your future purposes. We thank you for the privilege you give us, Father, to call forth the thing that be not as though it were. Yeah. Because that's the God we serve. And we just thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just to give you a little bit of an overview of what we're going to do, we're going to have a bit of, on all three nights, we're going to have a bit of time of teaching. And by the way, Marcy and I are not the only teachers. We're going to be pulling on some of you. And God is going to be pulling on some of you because we want to talk about the whole thing of intercession. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about is very subjective and is very ethereal and is very the moving of the Spirit. And so we want to hear from some of you as we go through these sessions on how does God move through you? How does God put an impression on you? How does God put a prayer burden? And I use the burden. If I use the word burden, I use it in a good way. It's the burden of the word of the Lord. It's the burden, the prophetic unction of God. And it is not a burden we carry forever. It's a burden that he gives us. Jesus says, my burden is light. It's the burden of Jesus. It's the yoke of Jesus. But we want to know, how do we process things, and how do you process it? Because here's what I've learned. A lot of people have a lot of stuff going on inside of them, and they're not sure whether it's God or they're nuts. They don't know whether they're just going crazy. Can you relate? And I'm here to tell you, 99.9% of it's God. You might be a little bit nuts, but but we are a peculiar people, aren't we? And so next week we're going to talk about hearing the word of the Lord as it relates to prophetic intercession. We're going to talk about feeling the emotion of God as it relates to prophetic intercession, and seeing the activity of God, which is all very subjective. And so I want to do something tonight, and that is, I want to establish us strongly in the word of God before we go off. And I want to read you a vision out of a book. And by the way, for those of you who are prophetic, and I believe you all are, it's a very good book by Michael Sullivan called Prophetic Etiquette. Just really good book on, how many of you know, because prophecy is so subjective and the moving in the prophetic is so subjective, we do need to understand when we're straying away from a boundary. Yeah. And this book is very good in just helping to establish that. And we'll be talking more about all of those things. On the third night, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare on two fronts. The warfare that we step into on behalf of the Lord to proclaim his will upon the earth. How many of you know that in reality, when we step into the place of being an intercessor, we step into a place of a collision between two kingdoms? And we need to understand that. And we just need to know how to process that. We need to know what do we do in spiritual warfare and what don't we do. And we're also going to talk in that session about how do we guard ourselves against getting beat up by the adversary, especially if we step into the role of a cause, whatever it is, for an individual, a city, a region, whatever it is. How do we make sure we don't get beat up? So we're going to be talking about that too. And for that reason, I want to get us into the Word of God tonight, but I want to read you a vision that Michael Sullivan shares in his book. Prophetic Etiquette. Some years ago, while in prayer during a ministry trip in Germany, I received a vision. I saw a large, beautiful flagpole planted in the foreground of an outdoor scene. A strong wind was blowing, and the trees in the background were being affected powerfully by the wind. The flagpole stood majestically, unmoved by the wind, and I heard a voice say, "What's missing?" "Lord," I replied, "there is no flag." Then at the base of the great flagpole, I saw a plain package appear. Suddenly, the wrapper at the bottom of the pole was supernaturally undone, and I saw a multicolored flag emerge from it, hoisted upward without the assistance of hands. As it rose, the wind caught the resilient yet delicate fabric, and the flag quickly unfurled, flapping strongly and gracefully in the wind. It seemed as though the whole world could see this awesome banner. I noticed the contrast between the flagpole and the flag. The flagpole was like steel, silent and unbending. The flag was attention-grabbing and highly responsive to the wind. Both of them were dazzling in their own ways. While I was having the vision, I understood by the Holy Spirit that the flagpole and the flag were the picture of two sides of the Christian faith. The objective side and the subjective side. The objective, essential, historical, proven truths and doctrines of our faith are stable and plain, unchanging, firmly grounded and established. They are fundamental and vital as they shine forth. the subjective, experiential aspect of our life in the Spirit of God are more delicate, visible, and fluid. They inspire passion, enthusiasm, and flair. I heard that voice say, "What is a flagpole without a flag?" But then again, what is a flag without a flagpole? It is good for nothing except to be cast down and trampled upon by men of the earth. I believe that God is working in our day to bring together two aspects of our faith into dynamic duo, complementary elements of a unified whole. So often in history of the church and her movements, each side has had its champions who unwittingly neglected or even denigrated the other vital side. This ought not to be. What God has joined together, let no man divide. The objective ministry of the written Word of God and the subjective ministry of the Holy Spirit go together like spoken words and the breath that attends them. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath, the spirit of his mouth. It is essential to remember that the objective truths of the Scripture that we know and build our life upon were once subjectively communicated by God to humanity. The divine reality and veracity of these experiences were objective by passing the test of their universal enduring impact and the corroborating of witness of credible people who knew and loved God. By this, God has provided us with a reliable measuring rod to evaluate other subjective experiences that claim divine inspiration in their source. What I want to do tonight is, what we're going to do together, we're going to look at more scripture tonight than we will any other night, because I want us to firmly plant a flagpole tonight. We want to establish the whole thing of intercession. We want to find it and see it in the Word of God, so that in the next 2 weeks, when maybe some of our dialogue and our teaching and even our prayer and some of that gets out there just a little bit, that we know that we are anchored safely to the Word of God. Does that sound good? Yeah. How many of you know that intercession can get very subjective? How many of you know that the prophetic can get very subjective? How many of you know that there's probably people who are very nervous around you? It's true. It may be true. I'm not saying it is. I don't want to put that there if it isn't. But if it isn't true, it will be. Because the reality is, those who are not prophetic do not always understand the stirrings and the rumblings and the passion and the oomph that we sometimes feel on the inside of us. And it doesn't originate with us. It originates with God. And yet it's really real. And it moves us. It moves our body. It moves our voice. It moves. I heard an intercessor say this morning, "Lately I've been punching in the air." And she looked over at me like, "Is that all right?" And yes, it is, because we see the activity of God. And sometimes it's not just about what we're hearing, but it's about what we're feeling. But it's not just what about we're hearing and feeling, but it's about the activity and the motion of the body. And sometimes we're going to talk about all that. But we're going to ground it in the Word of God. Okay? So let's do that. Let's get started. Intercessions, very simply defined, to speak with someone in authority on behalf of others, to take a stand in support of someone else. In the Old Testament, one of the best examples of intercessors were priests. They were intercessors for the people to God. In our society today, a good picture of an intercessor is a lawyer or an attorney. That is an intercession. It's stepping into a place of representing someone before an authority or before someone else and being a spokesman for them. Now, prophetic intercession is way bigger than that, and we're going to get into all that. But I don't want us to be moved by the term intercession. Thank you. How'd you get those? Oh, she took my glasses. Okay, number three. We're going to look at some scriptures. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 16. If you're here tonight and you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We promise we won't read anything that's not in there. Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah is prophesying on behalf of the Lord concerning the separatedness of man from God and the sin nature and all of that of man. And then in verse 16, it says, "He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him." And of course, that is speaking of the coming of Jesus. And I heard a man say once, actually, it's John Matthews who taught one of our classes here at Higher Call a few months ago. He said, "There's only two intercessors mentioned in the Bible, and you're not one of them." And it's good for us to know that. The first intercessor that's mentioned in Scripture, and we'll look at another portion of Scripture, the first intercessor that's mentioned in Scripture is Jesus. He is the chief intercessor. And it's good for us to know that, because then we recognize that we are there in His name, not in ours. In fact, that's one of the secrets to not getting beat up, but we'll talk more about that. And he wondered that there was no intercessor, therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Still looking at Jesus, the role model, the chief intercessor. In this little section of Scripture, Paul is writing concerning the awesome love of God. Let's read it. Verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justified. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." And he goes on to say, "Who shall separate us from this love?" So we see Jesus as the chief intercessor. The second intercessor that's mentioned in Scripture, and it's mentioned in this very same chapter, is the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, same page in my Bible. And he's talking about the groaning that's going on. All of creation is groaning. We're groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. In verse 26, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And the reality is that our coach in intercession is the Holy Spirit. The rumblings you feel inside, that's the Holy Spirit. The oomph you feel sometimes on the inside, that's the Holy Spirit. The righteous indignation that you feel sometimes when you're praying, that's the Holy Spirit. The weeping for no reason sometimes is the Holy Spirit. It is all the activity of the Holy Spirit, and you and I have the privilege of being used of Him to give voice to what is on the heart of God on earth. We have the privilege of giving tears. We have the privilege of giving laughter. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Well, sometimes you and I get to stand on the earth and laugh on his behalf. And there's a laughter that comes that is not even ours. It's his. And that is the privilege that we have. And it is the activity of the Holy Spirit. And it's prophetic in nature because it's God-inspired. That's all that prophecy means. That's all prophetic means. Inspired by God. And that's what we're talking about. Intercession, that prayer that is inspired by God, originates with him. And the stirrings that you and I feel are the Holy Spirit. And what a privilege we have to be co-laborers with him. I'm going to have Marcy come up and just share an experience, a couple of experiences she's had over years of this reality of the Holy Spirit coming in sometimes, whether she liked it or not. How many of you have ever experienced that? Sometimes it's like, oh, Lord, this is not a good day for me. Oh, well, come on up. Oh, sorry. I am sorry.
Okay. Are we on? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Couple experiences that Bob was talking about was actually, one of them was just shortly after we were saved. Not too long after we were saved, I would say probably. We were saved in March of 80. This was, I'm thinking it was probably maybe into 81. And I had no, I mean, we were so... Yeah, you know, I mean, when you're first saved, you know, everything is new to you and you're learning and everything. So anyway, we were on our way home, or actually we were leaving. I thought it was a Sunday, but anyway, we were in the car and we were heading over to Bob's sister's home. And we had Renee. She was just real little, our daughter, in the car at that time. And it was a beautiful day and we're driving along and... all of a sudden we get out on the highway. We're up, you know, we lived up in International Falls. We're out in this little highway heading out there. And all of a sudden I just, out of nowhere, I just went, bleh! You know, and I just started crying. I mean, weeping, to the place where Bob said, are you in pain? You know, is something wrong? And I said, no, I don't know what's the matter. And I'm crying, you know. And so I'm crying. And the more he drives, the harder I'm crying. So he pulls over because, you know, I'm thinking we're going to my sister-in-law's. And, okay, I want to, you know, you don't want to walk into your sister-in-law's and you're like, wah! You know, and I'm falling apart. So he pulls over and I compose myself and he starts driving again. And it starts all over again. I'm crying and I don't know what's the matter. And so he pulls over again and it simmers down. And so, I think we prayed. I think we prayed at that time and just trusted God. I didn't know what was going. And so we just asked the Lord to show us if there was something, and didn't get anything. But then we just sat there for a little bit and he said, well, do you think we should go? And I said, I want to go. We already planned to go. So we just kind of waited and kind of, and then it just seemed like things came to a calm and we got back on the highway and I was fine. I was okay. You know, but because I had cried so hard, my eyes are red. And so I'm trying to compose myself, you know. So that was one experience. And now I look back on it. A few years later, I look back on it and I think I had an idea of, you know, why God might have been, had so moved upon me, apparently. But I didn't at that time. And it scared me. Actually, it scared me. And that was kind of an isolated, for that intensity, was an isolated incident. The other incident, actually, I went all those years and, you know, we continued to grow in the Lord and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's right around 81. Then we get to the place where we went down to, had the privilege to go down to Argentina and go down for a conference down there. And so we were down in Argentina and that particular day, I just seem to remember, I think it was, I can't even remember who was speaking, if it was Cindy was speaking that day. I also remembered a day that there were some pastors that were speaking. That was the next day, I guess. So anyway, and I just, she had spoken, and then I went, had gone into the, I just felt that we were taking a break, and I went into the restroom, and I was doing great. Got in the restroom, and all of a sudden, I just could feel this coming, something coming up inside of me, and once again, it scared me. You know, I just thought, what in the world is this? So I'm get in the bathroom. I'm in the stall. And I'm like, okay, you got to control yourself. Control yourself here. So I kind of get through that point, and I kind of compose myself. And
describe what it was.
It was at first, and then I stepped out, and I got.
I wasn't in there.
Yes, you weren't. So I got out to the, sink, and then what happened was this thing that was kind of rising up within me, just like kind of what we just read in scripture. That's what I felt. I started to wash my hands, and I went, you know, and I just, that kind of just, this rose up inside of me. And I, once again, I didn't know what was happening. And that, at that point, it just so came upon me that it took me to my knees. And so there's other ladies that are starting to come in the restroom, you know, and I'm like, I'm thinking, oh God, why? You know, I don't know what's going on here. And thank God there was a lady that stepped up to me, and this was an international conference. Well, this lady, I found out later on, she was from Michigan, and she taught on intercession. Yay, God. So she came up to me, and I'm like, and by this time I'm kind of going into what we consider travail, and I'm like, you know, really, ladies that have been through childbirth are very familiar with what that all entails, and just kind of just a pushing, and once again, I couldn't understand, and because she stepped up to me, and she, first thing she said, are you okay? Are you in any pain? I'm going, no, fine. And so she said, can you tell me, are you seeing anything? And I said, as much as I could get out, I said, I'm seeing black clouds. And she said, where are the black clouds? And I said, they're over my city. And I'm crying, you know, or I'm in between all this. And she said, okay, all right, that helps me. Okay, so then she started, and basically, many of us are aware, obviously, in the natural, what a midwife does. Okay, well, this is what she stepped into, and she just started to pray in tongues and I don't know, I kind of get the impression that the restroom kind of cleared out, and I don't know. But so I'm saying, because I can't get up, and so she's just praying, and okay, and so then all of a sudden, as quickly as it came, it lifted just like that, and it, along with the whole aspect of that comes along with it, the kind of that pushing even within your body, but also just the lifting. I mean, lifting of weeping, everything. I mean, it just. And that was just, it was so amazing to me. And once again, I didn't quite grasp it. But obviously, after that happened, I had an opportunity to talk to her. And she kind of, that's when that kind of things were, helped me. She kind of explained what was going on and the whole aspect of intercession and this type of intercession that comes with travail and comes with a lack of better terminology, what we call a birthing process. And she said sometimes when that happens, it's very helpful to have somebody there that can enter into the spirit with you, you know. I mean, just as we are all called to intercession, I mean, tonight as we enter in, we're entering as a team. And that just tremendously helped me. But I don't know if you, that was my, kind of my first I was thinking of that when I was thinking about sharing this tonight. I was thinking, okay, the one was in 81, and the other one was in 98. That's 17 years. And I'm thinking, okay, God, obviously time is not a big thing to you. So it's been very interesting. And then from there, things then started to progress. We saw things, obviously we've seen things citywide that has obviously been released and is continuing to be, and region, I mean, and there's other places geographically. I don't know if you wanted me to share what kind of your perspective when you were, where you were. Okay, perfect. Okay, so that's where I was at. Can I share a little bit though? One thing I did want to say, this happened actually when we were talking about the next day. There was pastor speaking, and this happened again, and once again she had explained some things to me, but I wasn't real clear. And when it happened, I was at a place where I could once again not move. Well, at that point, I just want to explain this because a lot of times people don't know what's going on around you, and so they literally had to help me up off the floor. And because I was, you know, your natural mind is engaged while your spirit's going and doing and being yielded to the Lord. And I'm thinking, oh God, please not here. This is all, you know, it's a conference, so on and so forth. And so they're helping me up. And then they had me kind of come over. And they were very gracious about it. Had me sit in a chair, but then started talking to me about things in my past that had happened in my past. And, you know, and, you know, so what happened, and it totally threw me into a place of confusion because I'm thinking, okay, I'm trying to think real hard. Okay, what is this that happened in my past that I'm being, you know, maybe I'm being set free of something. And it didn't come to me until I was on the other side of that, and Bob and I had talked about it, and people are meaning well in that, but when they don't realize what's going on, they just, you know, you, as we all do, we kind of grope for, you know, ask the Lord and trying to get some, you know, clarification on this. But I say that to you is that because the fact is that sometimes if we go into a situation like that, not everybody knows what's going on. And so as it turned out, it was very, very confusing. I came away with that, oh gosh, there must be something in my life that the Lord is trying to reveal to me. And then I didn't come until later on and realize, nope, that was part of what was happening the day before. So anyway, I just want to submit that to you because it was an interesting learning process.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. And the next day it wasn't like it was in the middle of a meeting. It was, and there was actually some prayer teams that, and I think the people that were ministering to her weren't familiar with travail. Not that we were, we weren't either, but we did really have a sense that this was something the Lord was doing. And we just need to understand there is a reason that, for the most part, women have babies in a private room. Amen. And even with some forms of intercession, and we're going to talk about that, but there's some wisdom. And and yet this was not out of place in that setting because it was after the meeting and it was during some prayer time. But anyway, so that's the role of Jesus as the chief intercessor, and it's just a picture of how the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk more about some of these things, some of these subjective, what Marcy shared is very subjective, it's very real, more real than you want it to be sometimes. I've asked Marcy, because obviously from time to time we've been in prayer situations in the community or with prayer teams, and she and others will go into travail, and I've asked her, man, that doesn't look like fun. She says it is fun in the sense of, you know, that God's using you, and there is just, you know, it. She just gave up wearing makeup between that and it was in 1998. Between that and the revival meetings, we just said, yeah, we don't need makeup. Just flushes out anyway. So, but there is a real reality to that whole thing. So that is the role of the Holy Spirit. In many ways, we become instruments. He plays our strings, if you want to say it that way. But let's talk about you. Number five, we're not going to read this scripture. But understanding intercession is found in understanding man's role on the earth. And we know that God gave man dominion upon the earth. And the reason that he needs you and I is because we have authority here. We need to understand that. We as people have authority in this realm. And so he delights in using earthlings to proclaim his purposes and his plans. In fact, it is necessary. He's the creator of heaven and earth, and yet he looks for an invitation to come into your life. And we often talk much about the sovereignty of God, but we don't talk often enough about the sovereignty of man. And the part, and it's not that God has to, it's that he wants to, he desires to, he intended to. He doesn't intend to do anything without you and I. And we need to know that. There's some biblical examples here of intercession. Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. How many of you remember that? We won't go there, but the scripture's there if you just want to study. Have you ever thought of that in the place of intercession? Two angels or the Lord, whatever, came and had a picnic with Abraham, and he realized they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So he bargains with God. If there's 50 righteous, will you save it? How about 45? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? If there's 10 righteous, will you spare the city? Yes. But there wasn't. But that was intercession. Moses interceding for the children of Israel. There were times when God wanted to wipe the children of Israel off the map, and Moses interceded for them. There were times when Moses wanted to wipe the children of Israel off the map, and God interceded for them. Remember that? It's true. And there were times, I just think it's a miracle that Moses and God didn't have a bad day on the same day. Huh? I mean, really? And Moses says to God, he says, you know, if you destroy them, Egypt's going to say, well, look at their God. He just appeals to God like, come on, God. You know, our intercession sometimes can be very simple. Here's the intercession that I want to have us take a look at. Simeon and Anna. Okay, somebody didn't. Yeah, did anybody not get sheets? Oh. These are written on. Did anyone else not get a sheet? I'm sorry. Thank you, Dave. I went and made more copies. Can you pass those out? Yes. Can you pass those out? Thank you. I'm sorry. I thought we got them back there quick enough.
They're all out.
Oh, okay. Oh, you went and made more again. Okay, that's why it's got writing on it. Okay, no problem. Thank you, Dave. It's Pastor Dave, by the way, for those of you who don't know. Pastor Dave. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. This is one of my favorite pictures of intercessors, and thank God there's a man represented. Whoa. I found, and I'm speaking as a pastor, I have found that more often women are given to intercessory prayer. I'm not saying prayer, I'm saying especially prophetic intercession than are men. I believe there's a reason for that. And I believe it has to do with picking up the emotion of God. And we'll be talking more about that probably next week. But I'm so glad to see a man here. Verse 25, chapter 2, Luke. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph, his mother, marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phinehas, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. This is a good example of two intercessors who recognized Jesus in infant stages and in his infant See, and I believe that they recognized him because they had been praying for him and for his coming. And I even believe that there had to be, and there were more, I'm sure, but there had to be those who were pulling on heaven for the coming of the Messiah in order for the Messiah to come. There had to be a John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord for Jesus to come. There had to be humanoids, people, earthlings, common earthlings, giving permission and even pulling on heaven for the purposes of God to be established on the earth. That's what intercession is. And we see Anna and Simeon for years pulling on God for this day. And they recognized it. And I want to suggest that those of you who are intercessors and have been praying for a season, you get excited at the smallest things that you've been praying for. It's like you've been praying for rain and one raindrop falls and it's like, yes! See that? Everyone else says, see what? But you see it because you're praying it in. And it might be in infant stages, but you know that you know that you know. That's it. There it is. And you also know that because it's started, it's going to keep coming. We moved to this community in about 33 years ago. And there was a ton of intercession going on in this community then. Jay and Audrey Bunker were leading prayers. I used to go to prayer meetings with Jay 30-some years ago where there were men gathered in the Christian bookstore praying for these days. There's the Catholic Church in this community has intercessors praying for years. There's, you know, the thing that we must always remember about intercession is we are just a part of what God is doing. While we were praying up here this evening, Marcy had a picture of people with a puzzle piece. And that's kind of what intercession is. We all have the peace, and it's not like we ever have the whole thing. We kind of feel sometime like we do. And it's like, you know, and it's so important to us. That's why sometimes intercessors in churches can make pastors nervous, because they're so intense. More intense than the pastor is, and more passionate sometimes, and about what they're seeing and about their peace, not recognizing. And we're going to talk some about how do you cooperate with leadership in a church, realizing there's a lot of people here from different churches and different persuasions as it relates to prayer and all that. But we must always remember, we just have a peace. It's really, really important. That peace completes a picture, but it is just a peace. But what Marcy saw is, as we blend our pieces together, and we're going to do that a little bit later in intercession, but as we put our pictures together, you know how in a jigsaw puzzle you can see the line of where all the pieces, she said she just saw it, just they just became one, and there was no peace. There was no separation. And I believe that's a good picture of what the Lord wants to do. And of course, item D under number 6 there, Jesus at the cross interceding for all mankind. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's intercession. Number 7, I want to take us, and I want us to look at a couple of scriptures, because here's where you come in. Jesus ushered in a whole new order of priests. And it is talked about, and I want to just visit for just a minute, Hebrews chapter 7. The writer of Hebrews talks about it. Verse 1. And then again in verse 15. For this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of kings and blessed him. Melchizedek was an interesting character. Other than Jesus, he's the only one recorded in Scripture, other than you, who was both a king and a priest. He was a king, but he also, remember, Saul got in trouble because he was king and he tried to do priestly duties. And that was forbidden. But Melchizedek was a king and he was a priest. Let's read verse 15. And it is yet far more evident, if the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. A king and a priest. Jesus was a king and a priest. Stay with me. Now let's see this fleshed out in 1 Peter 2:9, a verse you probably know well. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And the reality is that there is a new priesthood that Jesus was the first of, other than Melchizedek, after the order of this mysterious Melchizedek in the Scripture, who, as far as we know, never died, seemed to have no beginning, no end, and we can let our head go all kinds of places. But here is the deal. He was a king and he was a priest. Jesus was a king and a priest. You are a royal priesthood. The real thought there is a generation, a nation of kings and priests. And that is the role of intercession. And sometimes we take the role as a priest and we represent earth to God. And we speak to God as an intercessor on behalf of earth, on behalf of people, on behalf of a situation. And we intercede between man and God. It is earth addressing heaven. But there is a time and there come seasons when we turn and we are no longer priests representing people to God. But we turn and we now are speaking as kings. And we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we make proclamations from heaven to earth. And it is not representing man before God, it is representing God before man. And that's when you feel that feistiness come in. That's when you feel like a warring rise up. That's when you feel an indignation rise up within you. You are stepping into the role of a king who has authority of heaven behind you. You are not there on your own name. You're there on the name that is above every other name given by God upon earth, under the earth, and above the earth, that carries an authority. And that's why you sometimes can get so bold and so direct and so sharp. And there's just something that rises up inside of you, and it's not you, because you are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's using your voice and your body and your hands and whatever. And that's the truth. And it is that royal priesthood, that place that we step into where there's just that unction that is him, and we get to be used of the Holy Spirit as earthlings on earth, proclaiming things, a new priesthood, a brand new priesthood, the privilege of being priests and kings. Do you realize that only we can really traffic both on earth and in heaven? Humans, because of what Jesus did, were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can traffic in heaven. I can traffic in the heavens. We're going to talk about it, but I want to understand something. This is not our place of domain and authority. And we'll talk about that when we get into warfare. Our place of domain and authority is on earth. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But there's an awesome privilege that you and I have of giving voice to the things of God. That's prophetic intercession. That is having a love for a people beyond our own love. That is having a concern for people beyond our own concern. That is having a feistiness that rises up within us that's way more feisty than we would get on our own. A boldness or a brokenness. Have you ever just been in a place of prayer and it's like you just feel, just, you got to move so gently. That's the gentleness of the Spirit of God. And it's like, you don't even want to make a sound. You're picking up the things of the Spirit. That's intercession. We're going to look next week at some of the activities of intercession. You'll be amazed at the things that we do, we just do, that are intercession. D, under number 7, whatever we do in word or in deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that anytime we step, really, anything we do, but particularly intercession, it is not in our name, it's in his name. We are way different than Adam and Eve. We are a whole new breed of cat. Everybody say, meow. Just breaking the seriousness. We are. We're way different than Adam was. We're a whole new being, which it's totally different. We're both God and man in the sense of that kingly anointing. In that sense of being a son of God. in a sense of having the authority to speak on his behalf for his glory and for his purposes. So who is an intercessor? Item B, I think it's very important that we understand the term intercessor. I want to suggest far more defines a function than it does a title. And I understand we sometimes use it as a title, and that's nothing wrong with that. But really, it only is used for in a title form for the purpose of defining the function of an intercessor. A person functioning as an intercessor will be gifted by the Holy Spirit to hear, see, and feel what is on God's heart, and they will have an unction to process it before him in prayer. I believe that's intercession. Sometimes the prayer is priestly petition to God. Sometimes the prayer is kingly proclamation on behalf of God. But it should always be heaven birthed, heaven authored. This is the confidence, John writes, this is the confidence we have in prayer, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, then we shall have the petitions that we ask. I'm going to have Marcy come up and just share a little bit on item C, seasons of intercession.
Well, I already kind of referenced before in the fact that there was that long span of time before from the first experience I had, and then subsequently in 98. But I just noticed that, and then when I was mentioning, I started to mention too, when we came back in 98, I noticed that there was just a real, started to kind of be a real moving, can I say, even within the community. I mean, it wasn't just within me. I mean, the Lord was stirring something in the community, in this particular region. So after coming back, I just noticed things were definitely different. At that point in time, we were meeting as a church in the school. And I can remember after coming back, just once again, just being moved upon in the Holy Spirit. One Sunday, I was in the place, and now I'm coming to the place where I'm recognizing that first I was kind of overwhelmed with it. Now I think the Lord was helping me to see about the flow and the ebbs, you know, the ebbs and flows of that. And when that happened a few times in the school, I can remember especially one Sunday, and I think Leslie might have been with me that one Sunday. I just kind of felt like once again something was coming upon me. And so, quite honestly, what we did is I removed myself and went into a classroom, and she was with me, as I recall that day, and just stayed with me and. We prayed through some things, and just once again, it was kind of a what I'd gone through kind of in the past with a kind of a birthing process, that type of thing, and once again, it just lifted. You know, certainly there's times of, you know, I've been involved in prayer, you know, in the community over years, and in our church, and also been in the place of recognizing that. When this first happens to you, it's kind of like Bob was saying, you know, it kind of shifts your head. But in the fact that, okay, so you're more aware of kind of what's going on within you. Well, then you come to a place where then we were parts of, you know, praying together as a team. We actually, there was people that, a couple of people that the Lord would send into our midst that helped teach us on that. I'm just kind of referring, looking at Leslie, because we were kind of in that path. Kind of the Lord kind of put us together in that process, and I can remember having some home prayer meetings and things like that. But recognizing that, once again, now realizing it's not all about you, and realizing, you know, God's using other people. And so then he taught us how to be sensitive when other people were being used. And once again, then he made us into a place where there's pieces to the puzzle. You might carry this piece. Maybe you don't have that intense peace at this point, or whatever the case may be. But I just saw how God kind of flowed in this, you know. And as long as the word came to me when Bob was speaking is available. That's a big term for, you know, just any of us, you know, as far as having the Lord use us in different ways, you know, obviously. And during these sessions, we're talking about intercession and prayer. So I just want to encourage you in that place. Another thing I wanted to mention too, then, also that I think there's, when we talk about ebbs and flows or seasons, I feel like now, it kind of moved into that whole when there was an intense season and then it would lift. But then I noticed, okay, then there was, when there was an intenseness that came about, it would lift, but it didn't lift without joy. And that was another, wonderful expression of the Lord. And so now, I've found it, and maybe if you found that, you know, we all experience it differently. I don't feel like it's been kind of late, when I say of late, a few years probably, that there's been kind of an intensity in my experience right at this point. But they're, like we were talking about ebbs and flows, but now maybe there's an intensity in some of your lives, you know, the Lord doing something as far as in prayer and that. But I noticed one thing now, and we probably, a few of us have experienced that as far as just the Lord bringing a real joy. And now also different dimensions of that intercession with the joy, and just, I'm just coming into it, and I'm just asking the Lord more about that as far as what does that mean as far as the representation of joy as far as intercession. And it's all wonderful. It's all an expression of the Lord. But that probably, you know, I'm just trying to kind of touch on just kind of the ebbs and flows. I think there's, just as we are, we have different emotions that make us, they're a part of us, so does God. And he has seasons for those different emotions. I know that of late I've been, you know, we might be in worship or whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden there's this kind of dichotomy of crying and laughing at the same time almost. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. Obviously some of you have. And I thought, oh, this is interesting, God. Another facet, you know, of you. And so, but, you know, that's part of the, I think, the ebbs and flows of, you know, of intercession, what he's doing. And there's obviously seasons, which I think that's probably an aspect of that. So that's kind of touching on that.
Thank you. And under number 8D, we must all guard against finding our personal identity in our ministry, and this is especially true for intercessors. That's why I highly encourage that we recognize that term intercessors defines more what a function than it does a title. When we get into warfare, one thing we're going to talk about is not every battle that comes your way is yours to fight. And we need to know that. And we're going to look at even some scripture around that, because we can get sucked into all kinds of stuff if that's where our identity, if that's who you are, you're way more than an intercessor. You're my sister. You're my brother. Someone asked when I introduced myself, they asked me what they should call me. I said, Bob works really well. Because in reality, pastor's just a function. I'm way more important than that. I'm your brother. That's the highest calling I have in this house. I'm a brother, first and foremost. And in fact, a brother can go places a pastor can't, even in personal relationships, scripturally. Now, that's interesting, huh? Well, we won't open that can of worms. But it's true. Because the reality is speaking, if I'm your brother, that's a relational dynamic that connects us both to our Father, the same Father. Well, we want to end each session with a Q&A time. Not that we have all the answers, but if you have any questions, Marcy might have the answer, or one of the other intercessors in the room might have the answer. But we are going to, if you do have a question, we are going to get it on the mic, simply because we are recording these and getting them on our website, because I know there's a few people that wanted to be here tonight that couldn't be, but will be next week. Yes.
For about the past year, maybe 2 years, I've been experiencing... Do you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I've been experiencing, when I'm talking to somebody else about, especially to somebody else, about something pertaining to the Lord, and I just start weeping.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened today at the shower. And I said, I don't know why I cry. I don't know. I know it's the Holy Spirit, but I didn't label it as intercession.
Yeah.
You know, and why does that happen? You know, that's what I want to know. Why does that happen? Is that subject really important that I should be praying about that?
I you'd have to sort out whether it's intercession or not, but I think I have really good news for you. I think you're just getting really soft. I'm serious. There's a softness that comes. And the longer we walk with God, there's just a softness that comes. And so you talk about Him or you engage people, and it just, yeah, there is. So, it doesn't need to be intercession. It's just that softness. Yes.
Just in regards to what she's saying, I believe that every tear is a prayer. It doesn't always need words.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yes.
I was just wondering where travailing is in the Bible.
If you don't mind, can you be here next week? Okay, we're going to take a look at some of that. You all heard that question? Where is travailing in the Bible? And there is, does mention it a bit, and we will talk about that. Anyone else? Yes.
Does intercession include when you see a vision?
Yes, yeah. And that, again, we'll be talking. That is one of the ways that the Lord communicates with us and draws us into intercession. And one of the things we're going to be talking about next week is how do we, for lack of a better word, how do we receive downloads from God so we know how to intercede? And that'll be different for each of us, and we'll talk about that, because we all need to discover the unique way that God communicates with us. I don't know how many of you saw the movie Noah. if you want to go to a movie that's scripturally accurate, you probably better not go. But it's a good movie, but there's one line in there where Noah's grandfather says to him, "You must trust that God can speak to you in a way you can understand." Because Noah's wrestling with, am I really hearing? Am I really supposed to do this? And all of us must trust that God has the ability to speak to you uniquely in a way you'll understand. And visions is one of those ways. So we will be talking more about that. Okay? Yes.
I was wondering if and flows that you're talking about, could that include, I mean, I just recently had an experience with where I just had this shaking of my whole body and I couldn't control it, and my legs got really weak, mm-hmm. and that, and it did scare me. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And I did feel, I just wanted to like run, mm-hmm. get away, you know. Is that something?
Yeah, it could have been. And Anytime, and here's the challenge as intercessors. Did you want to address that? Okay, I'll let you go first.
Actually, when you spoke that, I wanted to just say that when that first that episode or that experience in Argentina, that's what happened. My knees started shaking so much that I just buckled, and like you, it scared me because I thought, what's happening here? Because I was losing control. I mean, you know, and when you don't know, when you're not sure. So absolutely, that's just I came to understand and realize that that's another aspect of the Holy Spirit. And I, experienced that probably more so on, off and on through the years, probably when I think about it more than any other time. You know, I mean, as far as that part of the experience, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anytime something like that happens, we need to sort out, is this about me or is this intercession? In other words, because there are times when God visits us and his presence overwhelms our body, you know. But we're going to be talking, next week we're going to be talking about all these things. And here's the important thing to understand. We're all uniquely made, and so we all uniquely relate to God, and he relates to us in very different ways. And so in some ways, there's no right or wrong answer to some of these things. It is that discovery process that he takes us on to learn how he communicates with us. But I will tell you this. He's interested in intimacy with you. And so he'll draw us into situations. And I can see by your response, you know what it's more about you than it was for you. There's a thing that God's doing in your life right now that's huge. And he's moving you from one season to another. And in many ways, it's marked by shaking. So it is a prophetic sign, but I'm just seeing what I'm seeing. It's more about you than it was for anyone else. But the exciting thing is, as you process this and walk through this, you then begin to give that away. And the things that he's doing in you now, he will use you to do in others and other situations. So that's awesome. But it is about intimacy. I'm preaching my next week's thing.
I just have a question about, you know, like you talk about shaking knees and crying and travailing and
yeah.
I kind of experienced a lot of that and I kind of know, but the other day, you know, 3 weeks ago, I was in the basement doing laundry and all of a sudden this anger came over me. Like mm-hmm. it just popped out of like mm-hmm. crying or whatever. And it was like, okay, that's just so weird because there was mm-hmm. nothing preceding it. Nothing, you know, I was getting mad at hangers. I was, this isn't going, you know, and then it went into a full blown, like somebody had just died and it had just like gutted me. Mm-hmm. And I had to call Jeff, who was at the Monday night thing with the guys. And I just said, you got to pray for me because I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But it was something I'd never experienced because I didn't identify it. And I mean, now what I'm thinking, I didn't even really connect it until now that, you know, I was probably interceding for somebody somewhere.
Yeah.
But that was odd. Does anybody else have that or just like anger? Like out of the clear
blue. I call it is righteous indignation. It's almost, it's
the
beyond.
The Lion of Judah.
Yeah.
I never had that.
Yeah, that's a good thing. The Lion of the.
He's actually had me roar before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody.
I just, because we're all so different, I sometimes feel that I'm alone in my own gifting of the intercessory, mm-hmm. you know, prophetic intercessor. And I've been praying for God to just kind of sort of get a support group of intercessors mm-hmm. that we can kind of find each other, you know?
Yep. We're going to talk about that in one of our sessions. It is important to be part of a, at least I have a partner, but even a team. And I believe that's part of what the Lord is wanting to do out of all this, is pull together some community teams. And because it is badly needed.
In kind of correlation to that, I was wondering if we should be cautious in what prayer groups that maybe are more traditional to, because is that frustrating or could that be disrespectful? Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to make a comment when you were getting all excited out there. I mean, I would, one more minute of that, I would have either had to decide to go outside and do a Yahoo or something, because does that mm-hmm. make sense? I mean, I was just catching in, and it's just like I had a surge of happy energy just by this being able to be presented. And so is that what will happen for people when this is freely being able to be discussed? I mean, I just seems like just this format is just like does something to my spirit that, I mean, it's like no pain, no nothing. I'm like 20 years old and I'm ready to run the laps kind of thing.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, we've already had testimonies of people who began to move into intercession just before the class even. I mean, just how can I say this? We titled it Prophetic Intercession Unleashed, and the emphasis is on the unleashed part. I mean, we're doing some training, and that's great, but our heart is to see intercessors validated. That's a big one. Validated. Thank you. Thank you for the call that's on your life. Thank you for the price that, you pay for intercession. Yeah.
Intercession that was quickly answered.
Okay, good.
A couple of weeks ago, I got a text from somebody from another lifetime ago who I hadn't seen for a long time. And, he wanted to meet with me and do some counseling. And as soon as Susie heard the name, she just starts bawling. We're driving in the car, and she just starts bawling. She just starts weeping. And I'm going, what's going on? And I kind of know that, what's happening here. But, I mean, it's like, we're on a busy street, and I'm trying to find a side street, someplace where someone doesn't think I'm kidnapping this gal and beating her up or something, It's like, so we found some side streets, and she went on, and she was just weeping, just bawling for this particular young man. And as soon as I got out of view of everybody else, found a side street, she starts laughing. So it went right from that to laughing. But here's the long and the short of it. And this is somebody that nobody here knows. That's why I feel okay to just give you that good report that we met on Saturday. And I shared a little bit of the testimony on church today. And in working with this young man, it was like we just came into the sanctuary and we're just looking at that painting. And all of a sudden, it broke. I mean, it was like, it was like I just proclaimed some things over him. He was weeping. It broke. He was set free. And it was like, what do we do now? And we looked at each other and we said, what do we do now? So we went and we spent another hour just talking about the kingdom, things and talking about the goodness of God, what's happened with the pouring out of his spirit in this day. But it was so... I didn't really connect it until tonight that was directly in correlation with Susie's intercession, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask if the worship team will come on up. I realize there may be a few more questions. Is there any questions in the room specifically about what we taught tonight? We will, every session we're going to have Q&A because I realize we want to scratch where the itch is, and sometimes we don't necessarily do that, and you can help not just yourself but others with a question. We need you. Yes.
And maybe this is more of a comment than a question, but do you find that often the way an intercessor stays more healthy is to intertwine worship with intercession in a way that you are ascending in worship and then descending in war, that you get your strategies from that place of worship?
My answer to that would be, we're all unique. Some people really ascend with music. Others ascend other ways. I mean, you know, the word or just solitude. But it is of getting into the presence of God, receiving, for lack of a better word, a download, and then releasing it on the earth.